Welcome to OncLive On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wainer. OncLive On Air is a podcast from OncLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, OncLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, we had the pleasure of speaking with Karen L. Reckamp, MD, about pragmatic oncology research. Dr. Reckamp is a professor in medicine, medical oncology director of the Lung Institute, director of the Division of Medical Oncology, and associate director of clinical research at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, California. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Reckamp discussed the definition of pragmatic clinical trials, how the Phase 3 S2302 Pragmatica Lung Trial exemplifies the goals of these types of studies, and ways that clinical trial investigators can make their research more pragmatic. Thank you, Dr. Reckamp, for joining us on an episode of OncLive On Air to discuss pragmatic clinical trials. To set the scene, what are pragmatic trials and what distinguishes them from traditional studies?
So we think about pragmatic features to clinical trials. It may be more of a continuum rather than pragmatic versus not. And I think that in the complex world of cancer clinical trials, we are trying to find ways to add pragmatic features. And what does that mean? So pragmatic features are things like expanded eligibility so that more patients might be eligible. Things like not excluding patients for certain lab values or for certain other diseases that they may have if it's not necessary for the safety of the drug, all the way to a fully pragmatic trial where you might have very few eligibility and say if they're eligible to receive the drug based on your standard practice, they're eligible to be in the trial. And so that would be kind of fully pragmatic for eligibility. And the more barriers you take off and the less complex you make the trial, the goal is that we have increased representation by patients in our trial and decreased burden for our staff in administering and conducting the trial.
What specific patient populations could benefit the most from pragmatic trials?
Using our SWOG-led S2302 run through the NCTN, this trial is fully pragmatic. It's called Pragmatica Lung. And the goal is to increase representation of all patients by limiting the barriers for enrollment and the barriers to open the trial for sites. You get more diverse sites opening the trial across the country, across community, rural, urban sites. That way you can get more patients in and represent our population in a much better way. And by having less tests and making things that are more standard of care, more patients are able to come in and not have extra things that they need to do, extra time they need to spend that may be a barrier for people with less resources. So it kind of starts to even out the playing field. And in that way, we increase representation. To run the trial is not as expensive. We have funding to work with a partner who has gone out to some of these sites that have underrepresented groups and can specifically go out and recruit in a way that isn't done in many other trials. So there are multiple facets to increase diversity and representation on a pragmatic type of trial.
What are the design and objectives of the Pragmatica Lung Trial, and how is this trial unique from other lung cancer studies?
S2302, run by SWOG through NCTN, is Pragmatica Lung, and it is a pragmatic trial because it is specifically using drugs, ramucirumab and pembrolizumab, that are FDA approved and used across multiple tumor types and have been used for many years. We know the side effects of the drugs, and we know where they work and where they don't work. So I think it's important to know that we're not using first-in-human drugs. We're not using drugs where we don't understand the side effects. So based on that, a collaboration with the NCI, with the FDA, and with the cooperating groups and the companies that have these drugs happened so that we could develop a trial that decreased the burdens of most clinical trials. And in this, we had a phase 2 trial where we found an improvement in overall survival. And so part of a pragmatic trial is that you are simplifying the endpoints. So the only question we're asking is, does this improve overall survival? And by taking out other endpoints, we can strip away many of the requirements that other trials have. One specific example is that we don't require any study-related imaging or what we call RECIS reads, which can cause issues and cause significant burden on our research staff. So we don't require that. That's all done per standard of care. So again, decreases what we have to input into a system, decreases what a monitor might have to come and look at, and allows us to get just the answer to our trial and get patients through and with less cost and less burden. The other side of that is that we have to enter more patients. Because of the fluidity of what we're and the flexibility of what we're allowing on the trial, not all the patients are going to be as rigorously selected. In that case, we have a larger trial and our statistics are based on potentially a little bit smaller difference between the two arms.
What are some of the notable challenges of designing and conducting pragmatic trials that should be considered?
So in thinking about pragmatic trials, again, thinking about it as a continuum rather than an all or nothing, I think, again, we were fortunate to run Pragmatica Lung as a very pragmatic trial at one end of the spectrum. But even if you can't be fully pragmatic, thinking about things that you can take away that are not going to be part of answering the question, which are not going to add to the safety, then why do you need it? Consider taking it away. And we've been trained for many decades now that cancer clinical trials need certain things. And I think we need to start questioning that. And some of those things have been done more globally. The NCI and ASCO itself has had a broadening of eligibility to try and include more patients and have guidelines on broadening eligibility. So that's one step in the direction, but also decreasing burden of data reporting is also incredibly important.
What is your main message for colleagues about these types of trials, and what might the future hold for pragmatic clinical research?
So as we move to the future of clinical trials, we need to understand where we've come in the complexity. And cancer, each cancer disease is very complex. Lung cancer is an example of one where it's not one disease, but many diseases. So there are things that we need to know and we need to think about as we're entering patients into a trial. But where we can take away some of that burden and complexity, it's incredibly important. And this is a moment where we do want to kind of level the playing field, increase representation in our trials. And we're, in order to do that, we do need to make trials less complex when it's appropriate and try to answer simple questions in addition to the very complex molecular and biologic questions that we have. And we need a balance of both types of trials. One aspect of pragmatic trials is knowing that you have to work with partners and you have to think outside the box and be willing to break away some of this, the rigid things we've been taught about how clinical trials are run, and be willing to think, why do we need this and how we can do things differently than we've always done them. And that's across the board.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.